Hello, I'm Harvey from PM Property Lawyers. I'm here today with Ian Crislow from Mortgage Line Services and also with Herschel Santanier from Glenstone Tax Consultancy, who's also a landlord. We're here today to talk about buy-to-let and all aspects surrounding it regarding finance and tax. So, Ian, should all portfolio landlords start by using a limited company?
Hi, Harvey. No. All landlords, with a new landlord coming into the market and looking to expand in building a portfolio, or an existing landlord who's already got a portfolio, the new thing about setting up a limited company to put all the properties in is not always the best idea. It's all down to individual circumstances. So any landlord considering setting up a limited company really needs to take advice, one, from somebody who's going to be arranging finance for them going forward, and two, from somebody who's a tax expert and also the legal side of it. So these days now it's become sort of a four-way conversation on each landlord case to see the best way forward. So it depends on the circumstances now and where that client's seeing himself going forward in the future with his portfolio.
Okay, so it's about planning ahead as much as anything.
Planning ahead and planning for now, because if you get it wrong at the start, it will have massive implications going forward for your tax point of view and also for Trevor Ray's finance point of view.
Okay, so Herschel, just as a kick-off, the same point then. What's your view on whether portfolio landlords should use a limited company?
If we're talking about existing landlords moving their portfolio into a limited company, I would say absolutely not, unless you've taken specific advice on it.
Mm-hmm.
For a number of different reasons, and I would agree with what Ian has said, that you need to look at your individual circumstances. So, for example, look at the history of the property. Have you ever lived in it? Because you might be entitled to capital gains exemptions, which will be wasted moving the property into a limited company.
Okay.
You might want to consider whether there are other ways other than using a limited company. Most of the impetus to move properties into a company are to do with Section 24 and the mortgage interest rate. So you might want to consider remortgaging the properties and changing the cost of the mortgage interest. You may want to look at ownership of property with a spouse, for example, whether you can utilise their basic rate band.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to change the property strategy and turn it into furnished holiday lettings, where you continue to get the mortgage interest relief anyway.
Yep.
So a number of different things. You know, how highly geared are the properties? Are there losses brought forward? Because again, if you move the portfolio into a limited company, those losses disappear.
Yeah.
I think we're already seeing, since the changes have come in, that some clients have been getting some, say, poor advice in regards to how they should change their portfolio all in one go. And then, as we've already found, that some clients already get capital gains tax bills, which they've never been advised about when they were at the outset.
Yeah.
And also, if you're a new landlord coming into it, it's how the limited company has to be set up. Most lenders want the limited company set up in a specific way as an SPV, so to lend to it, it's got to be set up correctly in the first place.
Okay.
And we're still seeing landlords who are coming with limited companies where it's been set up incorrectly and no lender will lend to it. So then they have to start changing what's already been put in place to move forward with those properties.
Okay. So for the benefit of our viewers, what are the different ways in which you can buy property then, either individually or as a company?
So as an individual, it's as it always was. Most mortgage lenders will lend to it. There's quite a few lenders out there. Since the limited company thing came into it, then a lot of lenders have started coming into the limited company market because it is the fastest growing market in the mortgage market at the minute. But again, that's been driven by maybe sometimes people doing things that they think they have to do. But if they thought about it a bit more, there were other ways and means of doing it. So lending to the limited company, it's a very, there's a limited market at the minute, but there's more mortgage lenders coming into that market day by day. But they all have weird and wonderful criteria, which is why you need the advice to make sure that you're borrowing from the right company at the right time. To the point where some companies, if they lend to the limited company, then they will not let another lender also lend to that limited company.
Okay.
So you're sort of tied to that one lender for the rest of the time of that limited company, which can be very restrictive. And if you don't know these things at the outset, what we do on day one you think is the best way can affect you going forward with the portfolio.
So it's very important to get that right to the outset, then, isn't it?
With all these points, it's knowing where you're going with that portfolio and what your, not what your plans are today and what you think you're saving today, but it's ongoing for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Okay. Because what you do now could affect you in a big way later on if it's done wrong from the start.
Yep, true. So, Herschel, lots of people have been banding around the phrase SPV as against general trading companies. Would you mind just explaining what the difference between those two is?
Well, SPV is a special purpose vehicle, and it's essentially there to fulfil a specific purpose. So in terms of property portfolios, it might be that you want to have an SPV for a particular development or a particular flip, or you may want to hold your investment properties of a certain type within that specific vehicle. So it's really just a question of making sure that it's the right vehicle for the purpose that you intend. Just to pick up on a point that Ian made earlier about taking the wrong advice, I did have someone who was a client who took advice from somebody else and transferred their property into a limited company. They then came back to me and said, can you sort out my tax return? And were not very happy when I explained to them that what they had done had just crystallised a tax liability of £300,000.
No, I can understand there wouldn't be.
So it's really very important to take the right advice before you do something.
I think this is the main point to come out of this video, that don't do anything until you've taken advice, not just from an accountant or a tax advisor, but also from legal representation. Absolutely. And also from a mortgage broker and where you're going to be going in the future. Because just getting the advice from one person, their advice may affect what the other person's going to be doing for you as well. And then that has a knock-on effect. So like I say, it really has to be a sort of four-way conversation every time a landlord is thinking about going into the sort of limited company.
Right. Just on the added complications then of raising finance as a limited company, what are you finding, because you said the lenders have weird and wonderful sort of conditions and so on. What kind of things are you coming across regularly at the moment?
The main thing at the minute is, like I say, because it's a new market and lenders are coming into the new market, they themselves are quite wary about what we're doing because they're not fully into it. So they've got different rules and regulations, and like I say, even with the SIC codes, each different lender will want a different SIC code to lend to it. So some want one code, another lender doesn't want that code, they want another code. Some lenders want all four codes that relate to sort of managing and letting a property. So if you break set up in one way, that might tick three lenders' boxes. That might put a cross against 10 other lenders' boxes. Okay. And the other thing we're regularly seeing is people who are already trading as a limited company, so Fred's Windows, and then he started putting properties into Fred's Windows, and is virtual. But that's probably not the best thing to do going forward.
There's a whole raft of things that the revenue look at when they're considering a company and how it should be taxed. One of those things very importantly is a SIC code. Also, the description of what the company does in the accounts themselves, the revenue will refer to those and say, well, this is the purpose of the company. And the other issue is whether it's a trading or investment company, which I think we're going to be talking about later, which has massive tax implications going forward. Okay. And certainly in terms of your lifetime planning is fundamental.
So I think that's the introduction to our talk ended for now. If you want to watch any more, particularly about tax and the more detailed perspective, click on part 2.